Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
We're going to study in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 16, a man named Naaman. Let's read the passage and then we'll study it out. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Parphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them, and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, would thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Now, there's more to the story, but this piece right here tells us a whole lot about something that we're very interested in. We find in Naaman some interesting truths concerning the simplicity of salvation through Jesus Christ. You see, Naaman was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. And I don't know if you caught it because I read the passage quickly, but the Bible says, By him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. So the Lord had blessed this man to help him to be successful in battle. But he had a problem. He was a leper. And you know, in the Bible, when you study leprosy, leprosy is a good type. But when I say a good type, nothing good about leprosy, but when I say a good type, it's a good match to the characteristics of sin. It is a type of sin. And at the recommendation of his captive maid, this little girl that had been taken out of Israel who was waiting on his wife, at the recommendation of this captive maid, he went to Israel, and the king of Israel sent him to Elisha to be healed of his leprosy. And his healing, the process that he goes through, is a type of salvation through Jesus Christ. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at this passage we just read, and we're going to consider salvation, and we're going to look at it through what happened with Naaman. From the details of Naaman's healing, we learn these things. Number one, through the details of Naaman's healing, we learn that salvation is so simple, a child can get it. Look in 2 Kings chapter 5 at verses 2 and 3. The Syrians had gone out by companies, had brought away captive out of the land of Israel. Watch it. A little maid. This is just a young girl. Maybe a teenager, maybe not even a teenager. Just a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Do you see the confidence in that? There was no doubt in her mind. She knew exactly how Naaman could be cleansed of his leprosy. She had absolute faith that Elisha, through the power of God, could recover him of his leprosy. And you know, there's a real truth here, because the children don't have any problem believing Jesus Christ. You know, the best way in the world for a child to grow up is to grow up in a church that preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and grow up in Sunday school, and grow up in vacation Bible school, grow up in the little Bible clubs or Awana or Master Clubs or whatever, and learn all he or she can learn about Jesus Christ. Because by the time they're 4, 5, 6 years old, oh, they're asking questions and making comments with absolute faith that Jesus Christ is God, Jesus Christ is Savior soul. I mean, it's just amazing. And I realize that they are repeating what they've heard, but may I tell you something? It is a childlike faith. And Jesus Christ commented on this faith when people were asking him about salvation and various things. He says, you got to believe like a child. And what he's talking about is these children don't have any doubt about these matters. They don't question the validity of Jesus Christ. There's something innocent in a child that when hearing about God, when hearing about the Bible, when hearing about Jesus Christ, they just get it, you know? They just get it. And that's how simple salvation is. I remember when our son was 2.5 years old. He was reading a Bible tract, and on one side were scripture verses, which obviously he couldn't read, and on the other side were pictures, not photographs, but drawings. And he was looking at those drawings, those illustrations, and he would look at those pictures and look at those pictures, and he'd flip through that tract, and then he'd close it, and then he'd open it again and look at them again. And one day we're writing, he's looking at that tract again, and he said to me, "Dad," 2.5 years old now, he said, "Dad, Jesus had to go way, way down in order to save us from our sins." I'm thinking to myself, you know, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, that's what the Bible says. And that is a tremendous statement. He had to go way, way down to save us from our sins. You know, it's just a child growing up and learning these things and hearing them and repeating what he's learning in school. But wow, what a great foundation. So salvation is so simple, a child can get it. From the details of Naaman's healing, we also learn that salvation is so valuable, a man would pay a great sum to obtain it. Look in 2 Kings and look at chapter 5 at verse 5. The king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, that's Naaman departed, and took with him, watch it, 10 talents of silver, watch it, and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. This is quite a sum. It's quite a sum. You see, in this case, Naaman knew he was a leper, and he wanted the leprosy gone. The difference between Naaman, when you're talking about salvation, and most sinners, is that Naaman knew he was a leper. Most sinners don't realize that they are hopeless sinners. They deny that. Or they just put themselves in with the whole multitude of all people and say, well, all men are sinners, like it's not so bad. And certainly they would say to you that a murderer or a terrorist or somebody like that, well, maybe that person should go to hell, but not me and all these other people. They don't realize how serious the condition of their sin is. Naaman knew how serious the condition of his leprosy was. And I'll tell you something, when sinners figure out how serious the condition of their sin is, you know what they'll do? They'll go to any lengths to get their sin problem taken care of. That's right. Men give huge sums of money to their churches in hopes of buying their way into heaven. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It is a great motive. They're trying, if you want to say it this way, trying to buy God off, trying to be charitable, trying to pay, you see. But salvation is a free gift, and no amount of money will suffice for the price of a soul. In Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, the Lord is very clear. He said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" All right. Now we know that the price of a soul exceeds the gain of the whole world. In other words, if you were so powerful, so rich, so wise, so able, that you could take over every country and every asset in every country and be 100% owner of everything in the world, all the land, all the resources, all the stock of all the companies, all the countries, and you could rule every country. If you had the complete control and complete ownership of the whole world, the value of your assets would still not exceed the value of a soul. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Your soul is more valuable than that. Furthermore, he says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Salvation is so valuable, a man would pay a great sum for it. Okay? And that's what we see with Naaman. I'm taking a whole lot of money down there because I got a big problem I need to get taken care of. Men pay a tremendous amount of money to doctors when they have major health problems late in life, and they've got the money to do it. They'll go to any lengths to take care of those problems. And listen, most sinners don't go to great lengths to take care of their sin until they realize how bad their sin is, and then they'll do anything. Because salvation is valuable. All right? From the details of Naaman's healing, we also see this. Salvation is so impossible that no man can accomplish it. So Naaman heads over to Israel and he presents the letter to the king, and you know, then real problems brew. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover him of his leprosy?" Well, the king of Israel mistook it all. He thought because of his failure, then the king of Assyria would attack him because, you know, he didn't do what the king told him to do. But let's just stop with this question, because he says, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover him, a man of his leprosy?" You know what the king is saying? I can't do this. I can't do this. And the same way, listen, salvation is something that only God can do. There's nobody else in the universe that can save your soul. You see, the king of Israel rent his clothes because he knew that he was hopeless. And you know what? It isn't going to happen, okay? It sure would be nice if it did. Would to God, charlatan priests and charlatan preachers and charlatan churches would repent of their false gospel and faking out people into believing that they have the power to save, or that their churches have the way to God. I really do. I'm this thing with priests who say, you know, you come and you take the Eucharist and you go to confession, you do all the things that I tell you, and you get baptized and you do your confirmation and catechism, and you do your, you know, sacraments like I tell you, and then be good, die in the state of grace and all that stuff, and then make, you know, hopefully we'll get you in there, and just as an assurance, we'll have your family come down here and burn some candles, pay a little money here. I tell you, man, would to God they'd look in this Bible and find out they do not have the power to change bread and wine into the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have the power to forgive sins. Only God does. They don't have the power to absolve sins by your penance, and that they are preaching a false gospel. Would to God they would do that. Would to God Mormons would just say, listen, we've been faking you out to get control of your soul through our religious practices, and we don't have, our people don't die and go to heaven when they die, and we don't have the power to do this. Would to God Jehovah's Witnesses would just be honest and say, we are not earning the kingdom by going through the process that we go through here. Listen, salvation is impossible to a man. It's so impossible, no man can accomplish it. They don't have the way of salvation. No man does. Listen, the Bible says salvation is of the Lord. You want to get saved? You're going to have to go by this book, and we're going to see that here in a minute. You see, what we've learned so far is salvation is so simple, a child can get it. This little maid knew how Naaman could be healed, and little children know how you can be saved. Salvation is so valuable, a man would pay a great sum for it, but it's not anything you can buy. Salvation is so impossible that no man can accomplish it. The king of Israel just tore his clothes and said, I cannot heal this man. And then we learn this. From the details of Naaman's healing, we learn that salvation is so contrary that self-righteous men reject it. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9. Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now he's going to meet the great Elisha. No, he's not. Elisha sent a messenger unto him. It's funny to me because dignitaries, when they meet each other, you know, diplomatically, they always meet on of equality. In other words, if they're dealing with the Secretary of State of one country, then the comparable position in the other country is obligated to meet you in a diplomatic conversation. Well, Naaman comes. He expects to see, you know, the man of God, the prophet. He doesn't come out. He sends his messenger. That's funny. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, said, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But that is not what Naaman wanted to hear. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went in a way in a rage. Salvation is like that. Salvation is so contrary that self-righteous men reject it. Elisha's orders weren't what Naaman thought at all. It is not what Naaman envisioned in any way, shape, or form. And so in his pride, he scorned the idea of washing in the Jordan River. Now, we know how this thing turned out. Washing in the Jordan River is what cleansed his leprosy. But man, he was not buying it. And so he went away in a rage. But may I tell you something? That's exactly how self-righteous men respond to the gospel. Many men have rejected the gospel in a similar rage. I've had the blessing, I've had the opportunity to talk to lots of people about the Bible, about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you, I have seen people burn tracts. I've seen people want to get into a fist fight. I've seen a man hit another man. I've heard many stories of the very same thing. There was a fellow walking down the street years and years and years ago, and a guy was out passing out tracts, and the businessman walked right by the guy, and he handed him a tract, and he said to the businessman, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And the guy turned around and said, what'd you say to me? He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He said, you better never say that to me again, or I will duke you out. He said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And the man was true to his word. He balled up his fist and knocked the preacher right to the ground. And then went to his hotel. And he was trying to sleep, but he couldn't. First of all, he couldn't imagine that he just did that to a preacher. But he couldn't get those words out of his brain. The next morning, instead of going to his first business appointment, he went and found a church that preached the gospel. And he repented and got saved. But that's a rare occasion. The thing is, and the thing I want to demonstrate by the illustration is, he took a swat at that preacher for telling him exactly what he needed to hear. Self-righteous men do not want to hear that salvation is the way that God planned it. They want it to be some big deal, make a big display. You know, let me do a great thing. Even his servant suggested that to him in the next verse, you'll see. All right, now here's the next thing. Salvation is so precise. There's only one way to obtain it. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? Yes, he would have, because that's the way self-righteous men approach salvation. Let me do a big deal and earn, you see, or have something to do with the result. But they're smart. They say, how much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down, dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Wow. It's exactly what Elisha said would happen. As a matter of fact, exactly what Elisha's messenger said would happen, his servant said would happen. Naaman had to humble himself. He wanted a big deal. He wanted a big display. He's a big man. God had already used this man powerfully in Syria. No. God's not interested in how powerful you are, how high ranking you are. He's not interested. He's no respecter of persons. You got to humble yourself. You got to obey the word of God. That's what Naaman had to do. You can only get to heaven by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way. Just as there was no other way for Naaman to be healed, he had to do what Elisha said. It's not what he wanted to do. But when he did it, it worked. You see, don't be messing around with this stuff when it comes down to salvation and get into arguments, okay, over what you think. Forget what you think. Get up the Bible and see what God said and do what he said. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's what he said. Why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? And I'll tell you why. Because the next thing we see from the details of Naaman's healing is this. Salvation. Listen. Salvation is so real. You know for sure when you have it. See, and the problem with you right now is you don't know. But when you have God, when you have Jesus Christ, when you have salvation, you know it just like Naaman did. You watch what happens. He comes up, he's clean, right? 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 15, he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know. He didn't know it before, but he knows it now. Now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. He said, I didn't know it a few minutes ago. And I went down there to Jordan. I did what you told me to do. I dipped seven times the Jordan River, came up, and my flesh is just like a little child. Now I know. And see, that's the problem. Most people who are trying to figure out this thing with salvation, they want to know before they get saved, and it doesn't work like that. You believe, you get it, then you know. Naaman knew the true God. He knew it. And he, you know what? He was just as certain about the true God as that little maid was that was waiting on his wife back there, who told him in the first place to go do this. And when sinners get saved, I mean, they really get saved. You know something? They know it. And they know the true God. Listen, when we're thorough enough in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, where there's no uncertainty in the mind of a person who's about to receive Jesus Christ, exactly what's involved. When they receive Jesus Christ, you know something? They know Jesus is now taking up residence inside of them. They know their sins are gone. They know. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Listen, you have to believe in Jesus Christ and find out for yourself that he and his salvation are real. Right now, you're just taking my word for it. But go do what he says, just like Naaman went and did what he was told to do, and you'll know. I have a good friend of mine that was dealing with a fellow that was Asian. And he says, I want you to tell me more about the gospel. He said, when you have it, you'll know about it. And that worked for this fellow because he compelled him to go get his Bible and begin to read for himself. 6 months later, the guy came back to my friend with a big smile on his face. And he said, I know. I know. He said, what do you know? He said, I know Jesus. And he explained to him how he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. You see that? Salvation is so real, you know for sure when you have it. And then one other thing. From the details of Naaman's healing, we learn that salvation is so free. It's so free. There's no charge for it. Naaman says, take a blessing of thy servant. And he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Naaman was still willing to pay. This time he was willing not to get it. He was willing to pay for what he had. He really appreciated what God did for him. And I tell you what, Elisha wouldn't take the money. And the reason is, it's like Jesus told his disciples, freely you have received, freely give. Matthew 10:8, freely you have received, freely give. It's like Paul said in Romans chapter 5, salvation, listen, is a free gift. And that's what he keeps calling it. Well, a gift is free. Yeah, but he emphasizes it. It's a free gift. In other words, you can't put a price on salvation or it wouldn't be free. If you pay a penny for it, you've done something. And it's just absolutely free. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now listen, if you are saved, then be like the little maid at the beginning of this chapter in 2 Kings 5, and have enough compassion on the folks you know to tell them how they can be saved. Or like this maid who sent Naaman to go see the king and then to go see Elisha, why don't you invite them to your church to hear the gospel preached, if the gospel is preached in your church? Why don't you do that? I mean, this maid was a captive, and she did it. These folks I'm talking about are your relatives and your friends. You ought to even have more compassion for them than she did on Naaman and the mistress. Why don't you do that? Be like the maid. And then this, if you're lost, realize that your condition is just as hopeless as Naaman's was, that you are in your sin, and recognize that by obeying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving Jesus Christ, you can be saved. There's no other way. Don't be messing around with trying to figure out some other avenue. There's no other avenue. Don't get mad. Just get saved. I'm telling you, when you do, you will know the true God. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.